Welcome to the East County Magazine Live Radio Show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, recording at our studio here in East County. As the weather warms up, fire danger is also increasing. County supervisors have just approved funds to gear up for a potentially severe fire season, and today you'll hear Supervisor Diane Jacob tell us why. We'll have details on which communities are most at risk and what plans the county has to protect people in those vulnerable areas. Congressman Duncan Hunter is under fire for admitting he opened fire on civilians in Iraq and likely killed women and children. We'll air tape of his remarks on today's show. A lion killed in Peñasquitos Canyon Preserve after an attack on a child recently has been DNA tested, and we'll have the results. El Cajon is looking for a new planning commissioner. Learn how to apply for the job, which has often been a stepping stone to higher offices, on our show today. Our hats are off to all the graduates across our region. Today we'll be telling you about some very special grads at Grossmont and Cuyamaca Colleges and share their inspiring stories of overcoming hardships to earn their diplomas. You might say that El Cajon is going to the dogs and the cats. We'll tell you why later on today. A teenage couple engaged to be married lost their lives on a Jamul highway this week. This time of year marks the start of the 100 deadly days of summer when teenage driving deaths soar. Find out tips to please share with teen drivers in your family to help them stay safe and protect others. CAL FIRE has issued a no-burn order due to high fire danger for our region, and we'll have details on exactly what areas that covers. Dennis Ruth, known as the Mountain Man of East County, has died. We'll share some memories of this iconic East County figure on today's show. From Public News Service, hear about a bill that could open up much of California's coastline to fracking and how you can provide public comments before June 10th. Just in time for summer, we'll also have some tips today on how to stay cool and where to go to beat the heat right here in East County. Winter rains have helped recharge our local reservoirs, and you can hear details later. Plus, if you've always wanted to see some bighorn sheep, we'll tell you how to sign up as a volunteer in the annual Bighorn Sheep Count held each July in Anza Borrego Desert State Park. So stay tuned for today's edition of the East County Magazine radio show, where East County matters. To prevent a repeat of the devastating 2003 and 2007 firestorms, San Diego supervisors have allocated funds for a coordinated fire prevention effort in anticipation of a potentially severe fire season. Supervisors Diane Jacob and Jim Desmond joined with CAL FIRE and County Fire Authority officials in a press conference. Jacob, who chairs the Board of Supervisors, announced,
"Wildfire season is starting to bear down on us already, and this year could be one of the toughest years that we've seen ever. With the rain that we've received recently, which is a good thing, but from a fire standpoint, what has happened is our backcountry brush is thicker than usual, thicker than ever. And that means there's a lot more fuel to feed a fire when it hits, and it will. Since a series of deadly firestorms in 2003 and 2007, the county has worked side by side with CAL FIRE and has spent more than $500 million on firefighting improvements, including new stations, aircraft, the establishment of a bigger and better trained firefighting force. That's a huge investment, but it's not enough, and we need to do more. We need to step up the game, and that's what we're doing here today. Devastating fires last year across California and the tragic destruction of places like Paradise remind us the disaster could strike here again anytime. So today, we're announcing several county initiatives to take fire preparedness and protection to the next level."
Nearly 60,000 homes in the county's unincorporated areas are located in places considered to be at high risk of wildfire. The initiatives announced by the county this week include creating a network of fire breaks around the communities of Crest, Guate, Palomar Mountain, and other vulnerable backcountry towns. The county is also doubling the number of home safety inspections from 10,000 to 20,000, as well as launching a coordinated effort with federal, state, and local agencies to craft the regional approach to vegetation management, including controlled burns. The state of California recently awarded over $369,000 in grants to fund these fire breaks around Crest and Guate, which CAL FIRE identified as communities at high risk. The mountain community of Julian, which is involved in a contested situation with County Fire Authority and CAL FIRE over the disbanding of the Julian-Cuyamaca Fire Protection District, is also included in the Coordinated Fire Prevention Plan, according to Jacobs' staff. Now the county will also expand a public education campaign aimed at encouraging homeowners to install ember-resistant vents and other fire-resistant materials, and the county hopes to start up a grant program to help residents pay for these improvements. The smallest spark can cause devastating results. CAL FIRE announced Thursday that the Ranch Fire last July began when a Potter Valley property owner up north was hammering a metal stake into the ground. A spark from metal-on-metal contact ignited vegetation nearby. Combined with strong winds and dry conditions, that fire quickly became too large to tame. The Ranch Fire, one of two fires making up the Mendocino Complex fires, torched over 410,000 acres, becoming the largest blaze in California history. A firefighter was killed, three people were injured, and 280 buildings were burned as a result of the flames. Supervisor Desmond urged the public to call 211 with questions and keep 911 open for true emergencies. He also asked everyone to stay out of the way of firefighters and sheriff's deputies during an emergency, and, he notes, everyone should have a plan, since it isn't a matter of whether another major wildfire will occur, but when. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
Republican Congressman Duncan D. Hunter is drawing fire for admitting that he fired at civilians in Iraq while serving combat duty with the Marines, also posing with corpses of dead enemy combatants. Hunter has been vocal in his support of Chief Special Warfare Operator Edward Gallagher, a Navy SEAL charged with war crimes including shooting at civilians and fatally stabbing a young wounded prisoner, then posing with a corpse. During a town hall meeting in Ramona over Memorial Day weekend, Hunter said of Gallagher,
"Because Eddie did one bad thing that I'm guilty of too. Taking a picture with the body and saying something stupid. And then texting that. So he took a picture with the body, with his knife out, and texted it to some buddies and said, I got this one with my knife. Okay? I take a picture just like that when I was overseas. Didn't text them to anybody, didn't put them on Facebook or Instagram. But a lot of my peers, a lot of us, have done the exact same thing."
Hunter doubled down on those remarks during a later taped interview with the online site Zero Blog 30, in which he stated,
"Well, then how do you judge me? So I was an artillery officer, and we fired hundreds of rounds into Fallujah.
Right.
Killed probably hundreds of civilians, if not scores, if not hundreds of civilians. Probably killed women and children, if there were any left in the city when we invaded. So do I get judged, too?"
As for the charges Gallagher faces of murdering a teenage ISIS fighter who had been brought in for medical treatment, Hunter told Zero Blog 30, "I frankly don't care if he was killed. I just don't care." He added that even if Gallagher did stab the wounded prisoner to death, he still, quote, deserves a break, indicating Gallagher should not be held accountable for violating the military code of justice. Barstool Sports, which publishes the Zero Blog 30 podcast, released a statement Sunday calling Hunter's rhetoric, quote, horrific. U.S. soldiers have been prosecuted for taking photos with dead bodies of enemy combatants, usually with aggravating circumstances such as desecrating a body. Shooting at civilians, if done intentionally, can be charged as a war crime, but not civilian deaths from what the military calls collateral damage when targeting enemy forces. International human rights organizations have long raised concerns that some U.S. military actions in Fallujah violated the International Code of Justice, including what some have termed a massacre of civilians there in 2004. The military has contended that U.S. soldiers were fired upon by insurgents and that the military siege was justified. Hunter's unit was in Fallujah in 2004. So was Aaron Glantz, an unembedded journalist who reports on the investigative reporting site Reveal that, quote, "Retired General James Mattis earned the nickname Mad Dog for leading U.S. Marines into battle in Fallujah, Iraq in April 2004. In that assault, members of the Marine Corps, under Mattis's command, shot at ambulances and aid workers. They cordoned off the city, preventing civilians from escaping. They posed for trophy photos with the people they killed. Glantz adds, each of these offenses has put other military commanders and members of the rank and file in front of international war crimes tribunals, noting that this tradition dates back to World War II and has been upheld by the U.S. Supreme Court. According to Glantz's eyewitness account, during the Siege of Fallujah, which I covered as an unembedded journalist, Marines killed so many civilians that the municipal soccer stadium had to be turned into a graveyard. He notes that in the years since then, Division Commander Mattis has repeatedly protected American service members who killed civilians, wiping away criminal charges against Marines accused of massacring 24 Iraqi civilians in Haditha in 2005, and granting clemency to soldiers convicted of murdering a disabled Iraqi man by shooting him in the face four times in 2006. Even if the orders to fire artillery rounds into the city of Fallujah in 2004 were legal, Hunter's apparent lack of any remorse over killing innocent women and children is disturbing to some constituents. Many veterans return suffering post-traumatic stress disorder, haunted by guilt over their role in such bloody conflicts, but apparently not Hunter, the first Iraq and Afghanistan war veteran elected to serve in Congress. President Donald Trump has indicated he is considering pardoning Gallagher and other U.S. soldiers if they are convicted of war crimes. Some have suggested that Hunter, a staunch Trump supporter, may be angling for a pardon for himself if Hunter is convicted of felonies when his own federal corruption trial begins in September. Hunter and his wife are charged with stealing $250,000 in campaign funds and spending it on lavish personal expenses, including vacations in Italy and Hawaii, expensive jewelry, tuition at his children's school, and airfare for the family's pet rabbit. Hunter is facing 60 federal charges. If convicted, whether pardoned or not, Hunter would almost certainly face expulsion from Congress by the Democratic majority in the House of Representatives. Three Republicans and one Democrat have announced plans to run for Hunter's 50th congressional seat, which spans San Diego and South Riverside counties, including large portions of San Diego's East County and North County. The three GOP contenders vying to replace Hunter are El Cajon Mayor Bill Wells, Temecula Mayor Matt Ron, and retired Navy SEAL Larry Wilski. Democrat Amar Campa-Najjar came within just a few percentage points of toppling Hunter in the 2016 election, after Hunter's indictment. He has amassed a large campaign war chest for the 2020 race, which has drawn national attention. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Jonathan Getz.
Rancho Penasquitos Canyon Preserve has reopened to the public after DNA testing proved that a mountain lion killed by state wildlife officers is the same one that attacked a four-year-old boy. The boy was attacked while hiking with a group of 11 people when he was attacked around 2 p.m. on May 27th. He was hospitalized with a head injury that fortunately is not considered to be life-threatening. The lion approached officers from California Fish and Wildlife shortly after the attack, showing no fear of humans. Unusual behavior that led officials to shoot the aggressive lion instead of relocating the animal. The incident was only the third reported mountain lion attack on record in San Diego County. The others date back to 1986 and 1994. The only fatal attack occurred in 1994, when a woman was killed by a mountain lion in Cuyamaca State Park. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is John Fisier.
The city of El Cajon is looking for a new planning commissioner to fill the vacancy left by the appointment of Commissioner Phil Ortiz to the city council. The Planning Commission has long been a stepping stone to higher office, with many past commissioners going on to win election or appointment to council or mayoral seats. Applications are being accepted now through June 27th at 4:30 p.m. You can get an application and requirements for the position at the City Clerk's Office and on the El Cajon Planning Commission's website. All applicants will be interviewed the evening of July 9th in council chambers. The applicant appointed by the City Council will serve out the remainder of the term until January 2023. Reporting from El Cajon on KNSJ, this is Jonathan Getz.
This is KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso in the heart of San Diego's East County.
Almost 2,700 graduates from Grossmont and Cuyamaca colleges are receiving 5,652 degrees and certificates at commencement ceremonies in June, setting a new record as the largest graduating class from the two East County colleges. Dr. Cindy Miles says she's proud of all the graduates, adding their lives will be transformed forever by what they learned here. With the college focusing more on student support, increasing university transfer rates, and greater career opportunities over the past 10 years, the number of degrees and certificates awarded at the two colleges has increased by 178%, and the number of Grossmont and Cuyamaca College graduates has risen by 78%. Shakur Collins, the student commencement speaker at Grossmont College, is a study in determination. After high school, she was accepted to 14 universities and had chosen the University of California, Irvine, with scholarships to cover her full education. But during her freshman orientation, she suffered a medical crisis from a building of spinal fluid in her head, which left her with permanent and nearly total vision loss. Forced to drop out from UC Irvine and lose tens of thousands in scholarship dollars, she enrolled at Grossmont College, where the college's Accessibility Resource Center assigned her a personal scribe and use of an electronic screen magnifier. Now she is graduating with a straight A average and is set to transfer to UC San Diego in the fall as a psychology major. Meanwhile, she's working as a psychology tutor and in her spare time sings with the Sweet Adeline's musical group and is training in the martial arts. Grossmont has allowed me to take the time I need to heal, she says, thanking her professors and mentors at the community college. Cuyamaca College commencement speaker Akilah Scott is the first of six siblings raised in a single-parent home to pursue a university degree. A full-time waitress who carried 22 units in her final semester and played for the women's volleyball team during the fall, Scott described her daily schedule as beyond crazy. She is also the primary income earner in the household, since her mother is legally blind and unable to work. She started as a chemistry major, but a philosophy class exposed her to Socrates and other great thinkers. She will transfer in the fall to California State University, Long Beach, as a philosophy major. She calls her mother a superhero who inspired her despite being legally blind, and says she's learned while at Cuyamaca College that we can't allow hardships to be an obstacle. My experience here has also led me to understand the importance of embracing change. The second commencement speaker at Cuyamaca College is Dawood Rafoka, an Iraqi refugee who started at Grossmont College and Cuyamaca Colleges in 2015, not remembering how to multiply or divide. He graduates with an associate degree in mathematics and outstanding achievement awards in math, English, and more. His English language skills developed so rapidly that just 3 semesters after starting college, he was hired as a tutor to help others learning English as a second language, also making videos to help the ESL department. He became a resource specialist and student ambassador for Grossmont's outreach department. His upbeat attitude and outgoing nature belie his formative years growing up in a northern Iraqi village, where car bombings and terrorist attacks are a constant reminder to maintain a low profile and not to draw attention. At 17, he left with his brother for a safer refuge in Turkey, where they were eventually joined by his parents. 2 years later, the family was granted permission to move to El Cajon. He once believed that an education was not in his future. But now, he says, I wouldn't have reached this station of my life without professors' generosity with their office hours at both colleges and the constant support of services like the tutoring center. Now graduating with a perfect 4.0 grade average, Dawood will transfer this fall to San Diego State University, where he plans to pursue a career in computer engineering. And just 2 weeks ago, he became a naturalized U.S. citizen, embodying the American dream. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, the Network for Social Justice, this is John Fistier.
El Cajon is going to the dogs and cats. The city council has voted unanimously to allow pet owners to have up to 4 dogs or cats, or a combination of dogs and cats, up to a total of 4. Formerly, the city allowed no more than 2 dogs or 2 cats per household, though exceptions were made for puppies and kittens not yet old enough for adoption. Councilman Gary Kendrick, who formerly served on the city's planning commission, says El Cajon has received many requests from people seeking to add more pets, but very few complaints about pet owners. Kendrick, a dog owner himself, says everybody loves their dogs, adding that many people now want dogs for security as well as companionship. Obtaining an administrative zoning permit will still be required, however, for anyone seeking to own more than 4 cats and or dogs. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Jonathan Getz.
The 100 deadliest days of summer begin at the end of May and run to the beginning of September. No, not from heat or wildfires, although those risks increase too. Summer is when teenagers hit the streets with lots of time on their hands. Per mile driven, drivers ages 16 to 19 are nearly 3 times more likely than older drivers to be involved in a fatal crash. During the summer months, teenage deaths in vehicle accidents have increased by 26% compared with the other months of the year. That message hit home on July 2nd in Jamul, when a head-on collision killed 19-year-old Martin Lopez Soto and his passenger, 18-year-old Hope Najera. The pickup truck Martin was driving crossed the center line at 11:45 at night, also injuring 4 teenagers in another vehicle. Hope and Martin were engaged to be married, but instead of celebrating a wedding, their families and friends will now gather at funerals to grieve for the young couple. Motor vehicle crashes are the leading cause of death for teens. On average, 260 teens are killed in car crashes each month during the summer. 60% of teen crashes are caused by distracted driving, and having other teens in the car increases crash risk. 60% of teen crashes are caused by distracted driving, and having other teens in the car increases crash risk. Reckless actions such as speeding, tailgating, and not wearing seatbelts are also more common among teens than older drivers. Here are some tips to talk about with your teens. If you're distracted by a conversation, slow down, pull over, or ask your friends to quiet down. Turn off your cell phone while driving. Never get in a vehicle with a dangerous driver, such as one who has been drinking or is constantly on their phone. Call a taxi or rideshare service. Find a sober friend to ride with, or call your parents. Driving after using drugs or alcohol, even just one drink, is a crime for teenagers, and it can ruin your ability to get a good college or find a job. It's also expensive, with large fines, increased insurance, and attorney fees. Summer is a time to relax, get outside, and have fun with family and friends. But it's also important to put safety first, so you'll have a lifetime of summers to remember. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is John Fistier.
Dennis Ruth, known locally as Mountain Man, has passed away after a battle with cancer. He spent his early years in Santee, and the rest of his life in the high desert community of Inkopa near Hakumba. His stone cabin became a hidden local treasure which took him 30 years to build, and where he lived without electricity with his dogs and a mule named Big John. Ruth built over 200 houses over his career as a mason and construction worker, including several adobe houses. He was also a leader in the Hakumba Hikers and Walkers group, leading residents and visitors along rugged canyon and mountain trails in San Diego's backcountry desert terrain. He leaves behind countless friends, a large family, and many children, his own, as well as many local children who consider him a father figure. A memorial service for the iconic backcountry leader was held on June 8th at the Desert View Tower. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Jonathan Goetz.
CAL FIRE has announced suspension of outdoor residential burn permits in San Diego, Imperial, and Riverside counties for all the areas under state firefighting control due to high fire danger, and in East County that includes the unincorporated areas. Heavy winter rains fueled dense growth of brush, which poses a severe fire danger as it dries out. The ban also prohibits campfires on public lands to only facilities and fire pits in established campgrounds. The suspension does not cover campfires on private property. While rains as late as May are expected to delay the brush fire season, a report published in May by the National Interagency Fire Center found that while the fire season was off to a slow start nationally, California can expect above normal potential for large wildfires this summer as those grasses dry out, providing tinder for explosive fires. CAL FIRE has already responded to over 800 wildfires this year, the Los Angeles Times reports, including recent brush fires locally in Dulzura that shut down Highway 94 last week. So please, everyone, be careful. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
Dennis Ruth, known locally as Mountain Man, has passed away after a battle with cancer. He spent his early years in Santee, and the rest of his life in the high desert community of Inkopa, near Hakumba. His stone cabin became a hidden local treasure which took him 30 years to build, and where he lived without electricity with his dogs and a mule named Big John. Ruth built over 200 houses over his career as a mason and construction worker, including several adobe houses. He was also a leader in the Hakumba Hikers and Walkers group, leading residents and visitors along rugged canyon and mountain trails in San Diego's backcountry desert terrain. He leaves behind countless friends, a large family, and many children, his own, as well as many local children who consider him a father figure. A memorial service for the iconic backcountry leader was held on June 8th at the Desert View Tower. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Jonathan Goetz.
You're listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, the network for social justice.
The East County Magazine show on KNSJ Radio is produced by the nonprofit Heartland Coalition. We're your community news. We reflect your interests, not special interests. You can get involved by volunteering, get trained to be a citizen journalist, and support East County Magazine at www.eastcountymagazine.org. And you can send your news tips and story ideas to editor@eastcountymagazine.org. Now stay tuned for part two of the East County Magazine radio show.
You're listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, the network for social justice.
This is Miriam Raftery, producer of the East County Magazine radio show. If you would like to be the media, here's your opportunity. We're looking for some more talented volunteers for our East County Magazine radio show. So if you've got radio experience or just a great voice, or if you'd like to get experience writing scripts or special reports for the East County Magazine radio show on KNSJ, we'd like to hear from you. You can call us at 619-698-7617 or send an email to editor@eastcountymagazine.org. We're your community media, bringing you news from our region that reflects the public interest, not special interests.
Welcome to Destination East County with your hosts, Valerie Watts
and Jonathan Goetz. bringing you the top festivals, events, and attractions across East County.
Each week!
June is filled with fun and festive events, including La Mesa's Flag Day Parade, the Trevon Harris Memorial Basketball Tournament in Lemon Grove, Lavender Days at Summers Past Farms, Night Fishing at Santee Lakes, the Bayou Brothers Concert at Santee Lakes, a tour of artist James Hubble's home in Julian, a Father's Day Pit Barbecue in Santa Isabel, a pancake breakfast with firefighters in La Mesa, Fido Fest in Santee, Race Amity Day in Lemon Grove, and the Anamar Arts Festival in Ramona.
Plus, we'll have a preview of some all-summer-long events, including outdoor concerts in La Mesa, Lemon Grove, El Cajon, and Santee, classic cruise nights in El Cajon and La Mesa, as well as outdoor movies across East County.
So stay tuned for all of these events and many more.
La Mesa's 22nd Annual Flag Day Parade will roll out along La Mesa Boulevard in downtown La Mesa on June 1st, starting at 10 a.m. Don your patriotic garb to come cheer on floats, equestrians, and more at the Star-Spangled Celebration. This year's Grand Marshal will be Willie O'Ree from the San Diego Gulls. Ice cream will be provided at the lookout at Legacy Park while supplies last.
13-year-old Trevon Harris dreamed of becoming an NBA player, and he played basketball with the Young Bulls, a recreational team in Lemon Grove. But on May 3rd, he slipped on gravel outside his home and fell into the path of a vehicle, suffering a fatal head injury. On June 1st, the Lemon Grove Improvement Council and Coach Mark Horton will hold the first annual Trevon Harris 3-on-3 basketball tournament for players ages 10 to 14 at the Lemon Grove Rec Center in his memory. Funds raised will establish a scholarship and endowment fund to help other young athletes in the community with sports needs, such as those who can't afford to join a sports team or who need equipment. Organizers hope to make this an annual event. Teams are encouraged to sign up at trevon-harris.eventbrite.com. There will also be music, food, games, and more. Check-in is at 8 a.m. on June 1st with games from 9 to 2. For more information, you can call Coach Horton at 619-823-3754.
Summers Past Farms in Flynn Springs invites you to come celebrate the fragrance and beauty of lavender at a lavender festival and antique fair on Saturday, June 8th from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. You can fill your garden and containers with many types of lavender during a plant sale. Shop for lavender gifts such as soap, candles, salves, and sprays, and enjoy the fragrant scent of the Old South of France. Over 40 fine craftsmen and expert artisans will also be at this event, offering crafts, collectibles, and antiques, as well as a garden sale. You can picnic in a pavilion or on the grass while listening to live music by Jim Earp. And remember to wear lavender. For information and directions, you can visit summerspastfarms.com.
Heartland firefighters will be flipping pancakes at a pancake breakfast fundraiser on Saturday, June 8th from 8 a.m. to noon at the downtown La Mesa Fire Station on Allison Avenue. Breakfast includes pancakes, eggs, sausages, coffee, and orange juice. Funds will be donated to benefit the Heartland Fire Explorers program. Tickets can be purchased at the door the day of the breakfast. This year's event will also feature emergency preparedness training in CPR, first aid, fire extinguishers, and crime prevention.
The City of Santee will host Fido Fest on June 8th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. at Town Center Community Park East. This event will feature dog adoptions, exhibits, giveaways, live entertainment, vaccinations, demos, and contests including best dog owner lookalikes, smallest and largest dogs, best trick, and a doggy cakewalk. Full details are available at the City of Santee's website on the calendar.
The Race Amity Committee of Lemon Grove will sponsor a Race Amity Day potluck picnic on June 9th from noon to 4 p.m. in Berry Street Park. Attendees are asked to bring a dish to share. The park offers free parking and is handicapped accessible. All are welcome. An hour-long documentary, An American Story, Race Amity, and the Other Tradition will be shown the day before the picnic on Saturday, June 8th at 2 p.m. at the Lemon Grove Library Community Room. Race Amity Day started in Massachusetts to celebrate diversity and encourage friendship, civility, kindness, and respect among all people, and efforts are underway to create a national designation. For more information on Race Amity Day here in Lemon Grove, you can call Mike Lavich at 619-851-4689.
You're invited to bring a lantern and drop a line for night fishing under the stars at Santee Lakes on June 13th and June 27th from 5 p.m. to 11:30 p.m. Find directions at SanteeLakes.com.
The Bayou Brothers will present a rollicking concert complete with Cajun, Zydeco, and blues music at Santee Lakes on Saturday, June 15th at 7 p.m. Guests can enjoy the sounds of New Orleans and the Louisiana bayous. You can find directions to Santee Lakes at SanteeLakes.com.
Renowned San Diego artist and humanitarian James Hubble is opening his hand-built artistic mountain retreat home to the public for the annual Father's Day tour benefiting the Elan Lyle Foundation, Sunday, June 16th, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. in Julian, California. For more than 50 years, the Hubbles have been building their art-inspired home, and guests are invited to tour the iconic property's eight main structures, including the art studios, the famous Boys House, the chapel, plus the first-ever chance to explore the near-completed Elan Lyle Center, complete with gallery, amphitheater, and more. James Hubble, his wife Anne, and their family will also be greeting the public to share their inspirational stories and insights about the property, which has been largely rebuilt after the Cedar Fire. The annual tour raises funds to continue to perpetuate Hubble's artistic mission through the Elan Lyle Foundation. There are two tour times on June 16th at 10 a.m. and 1 p.m. Each tour lasts 3 hours. For tickets, you can visit elanlylefoundation.org/open-house.
You're invited to bring Dad to a Father's Day pit barbecue on June 16th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the historic 200-year-old Santa Isabel Indian Mission. Contests will be held for best cowboy hats, boots, and mustaches. There will also be entertainment, vendors, a raffle, barbecue, beer, wine, and sodas. Tickets will be sold at the door.
You're invited to explore what it means to be creative at the Animar Festival on June 29th from 12 noon to 8 p.m. in Ramona. Animar is organized by two nonprofits, the To Create Gallery and the Art Center of Ramona. The event is located at the scenic Beegent Ranch, surrounded by the Ramona grasslands. Attendees can meet art collaborators who will offer a variety of hands-on activities, including an art apothecary store, body painting, stargazing, rock painting, a karate robot, permaculture, wire bending and fused glass, a banjo sing-along, yoga, meditation, and more. Tickets are available at animarfestival.com.
Now for some all-summer-long events.
The City of La Mesa's Sundays at 6 concert series will be held at Harry Griffin Park in the Outdoor Amphitheater each Sunday evening at 6 p.m. The series opens June 16th with the band Trails and Rails. Other June concerts include the San Diego Concert Band on June 23rd and It's Never Too Late on June 30th. The series will continue through July 28th. Find more information on the City of La Mesa's website.
The La Mesa Village Association rolls out its La Mesa Classic Car Show each Thursday from 5 to 8 p.m. starting June 6th and running through August 29th, although there will be no show over the 4th of July weekend. This event features pre-1974 cars, trucks, and vans. The event will feature DJs and live bands located at La Mesa Boulevard and 3rd, and an award giveaway at each event honors the night's best cars. Opening night on June 6th features live music by Four Way Street. Other June Classic Car Show happenings in La Mesa include Barona drag racing cars, live music from the Flipside Burners, and the Shelby Ford Classic Car Club Night. You can find full details at LaMesaVillageAssociation.org.
Grab your popcorn. It's time for summertime movies at the outdoor roller skating rink at Viejas Outlet Shopping Mall in Alpine. Showtimes start at 7:30 p.m. each Friday night from now through early July. The lineup of popular movies coming up in June include Moana, Bumblebee, Ant-Man and the Wasp, and Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. There will also be showings over the 4th of July weekend of Star Wars The Force Awakens and How to Train Your Dragon. For a full schedule, visit Viejas.com.
Lemon Grove's Summer Concert Series opens June 27th and continues through August 22nd each Thursday night from 6:30 to 8 p.m. at Berry Park. The series kicks off June 27th with mariachi music, followed by a season that will also include salsa, Cajun Zydeco, rock and roll, Motown, country music, and more. Check the City of Lemon Grove's website calendar for the complete schedule.
Santee opens its summer concert series on June 13th with Elvis impersonator James Crook and the Big Boss Men. The concert series will be held from 6:30 to 8 p.m. at Town Center Community Park East on Thursday nights all summer long through August 22nd. The City of Santee has the full lineup of artists on their website.
El Cajon's popular movies in the park return by popular demand this summer. You can enjoy 9 movies from June through August at parks across the city. The first two in the lineup are Teen Titans Go on Saturday, June 22nd at Hillside Park and The Avengers Infinity War on Friday, June 28th at Wells Park. Guests can enjoy additional fun activities before the start of each movie at nightfall. For a full list of shows all summer long, you can visit elcajonrec.org.
El Cajon's popular dinner and a concert series is held each Friday evening at Prescott Promenade in downtown El Cajon from 6 to 8 p.m. Shows will continue all summer long. You can bring a picnic dinner or dine early at one of the many restaurants nearby before attending the concert. For full details, visit downtownelcajon.com.
El Cajon's Classic Cruise Nights is celebrating its centennial season. You can view classic cars each Wednesday from 5 to 8 p.m. along Main Street in the heart of downtown El Cajon. For a full schedule of events, you can visit downtownelcajon.com.
That's all for this week. You can find details on all of these events and more in the calendar and events section at our website, eastcountymagazine.org.
If you have an event you'd like added to our calendar or you'd like to sponsor the Destination East County column on our website or the Destination East County show here on KNSJ Radio, you can contact editor at eastcountymagazine.org. Destination East County is the most read feature on our website.
We'll be back soon with more festivals, events, and attractions in San Diego's East County.
See you around East County!
This is Miriam Raftery, producer of the East County Magazine radio show. If you would like to be the media, here's your opportunity. We're looking for some more talented volunteers for our East County Magazine radio show. So if you've got radio experience or just a great voice, or if you'd like to get experience writing scripts or special reports for the East County Magazine radio show on KNSJ, we'd like to hear from you. You can call us at 619-698-7617 or send an email to editor@eastcountymagazine.org. We're your community media, bringing you news from our region that reflects the public interest, not special interests.
Time is running out for people to put in their two cents about the Trump administration's plan to allow more fracking on 1 million acres of federal land in central and southern California. The public comment period on the Bureau of Land Management's environmental assessment ends on June 10th. Howard Penn with the Planning and Conservation League says hydraulic fracturing carries unacceptable risks of toxic chemicals seeping into the groundwater and pollutants worsening air quality.
What this really comes down to is the drinkable water and clean air. These are the real major impacts for especially disadvantaged communities. They don't have the systems in place to be able to extract the chemicals out of the water table, especially people that run wells.
The land in question ranges from the coast to the Central Valley across Fresno, Kern, Kings, Madera, San Luis Obispo, Santa Barbara, Tulare, and Ventura counties. That is in addition to a separate but similar plan for more than 700,000 acres from Monterey to the Bay Area. The Western States Petroleum Association, which supports the plan, says fracking is safe for the environment and needs to be a part of the energy mix. The BLM says the new oil and gas wells would create jobs in rural communities. The Secretary of the Interior, David Bernhardt, spent his prior career in the oil and gas industry. Penn says he thinks the administration will act fast to finalize the proposal and start selling leases before the 2020 election to thwart any future attempt to reverse them.
He was a lobbyist for this industry, so he knows how to play the game and get these things lined up in a short period of time so that it becomes more difficult in the future. Once they start those leases to go back through the ruling process and the evaluation process and then revoke leases is a much more challenging effort.
Public comment can be made on the BLM Bakersfield Field Office website. Penn says once the proposal becomes final, he fully expects environmental groups and the California Attorney General's office to fight it in court. For California News Service, I'm Suzanne Potter.
This is KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, bringing you public interest news from our region.
Viejas Casino in Alpine is hosting a blood drive in partnership with the San Diego Blood Bank on Tuesday, June 11th, from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. The drive will take place in the casino's Sycamore Room. Anyone 17 and older who weighs at least 114 pounds and is in good health may be eligible to donate blood. A good meal and plenty of fluids are recommended prior to donation. All donors must show picture identification. Donors are encouraged to schedule an appointment to donate, but walk-ins are welcome. To schedule an appointment or for more information, visit sandiegobloodbank.org or call 1-800-469-7322. That's 1-800-469-7322. Reporting in Alpine, this is John Fisteer.
This is KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, bringing you public interest news from our region.
This is Ed Barreno with East County Magazine. I'm here with our editor, Miriam Raftery, and we're going to talk about some ways to keep cool during the hot summer weeks.
Well, there's a lot of ways to stay cool in East County, Ed, and we've got some things today, whether you're old or young, or you've got kids, or you just want to go out and have a good time, there's an awful lot of options to beat the heat. One of my favorites is the bowling alleys. I know that's kind of an old-fashioned sport, but some of these bowling alleys now, they even have things like galactic bowling or cosmic bowling, where you go in and they have the mist and the colored lights, and it's kind of a fun way to stay cool. There's one at Viejas, there's another one at Parkway Bowl, maybe some others.
Yeah, and then that's good for the kids, too. They got the bumper bowling in there, and then there's always, you know, some video games and some air hockey, things like that in those places. So it's a good place to spend some time.
Well, there you go. Some of them even have arcades and things like that. Yeah, my dad was actually a champion bowler at one time, so I have a lot of fond memories of hanging around bowling alleys growing up.
All right, and then there's also the ice rink. The Hot Croc Nights has an ice rink, and you can go in there and ice skate. When I was a kid, that was a way that my family would beat the heat. It was we'd all go ice skating. My sister was a competitive ice skater, and I just kind of liked to go fast and crash.
My daughter was a competitive ice skater for a while, made it all the way to junior nationals one year, and I wish we'd had this place close to home back then, but now it's the Croc Center. For those not familiar with it, it's on University Avenue, just a block east of La Mesa, and on certain Wednesday nights during the summer, they have family rates for ice skating, and it's a lot of fun. And another cool thing that Croc Center has is dive-in movies. This is where they give you an inner tube and you float in the pool and you watch the movie on the big screen. You can check our calendar to find out when those are.
That would be a lot of fun. Speaking of movies, you can always just go check out a matinee during the heat of the day. A lot of times they have discounted rates and discounts and things like that. So the movies are a great option to kind of beat the heat, at least for a couple hours, and check out some of the latest flicks.
Yeah, there you go. I think Regal Cinema in El Cajon is even offering $1 days at the movie certain hours, certain days of the week this summer. So those are all good things to check out. Now, you've got a young son, Ed. I bet he likes to swim.
Yeah, he's a good little swimmer. There's always the community pools that you can take him to if you're, you know, apartment complex or housing association doesn't have a pool. There are community pools, so you can go out and get some swimming in and beat the heat like that. It's always a healthy outdoor activity during the hot days.
Yeah, one of the best-kept secrets out here is that in Santee, there's a community center that actually has play equipment for children and a little water slide right in the middle of the pool. So that's, you might want to check that one out. I think your little boy would love it. I know at Santee Lakes, there is a splash park. And it's kind of a spray park, and the kids can run through the spray and get wet. And there's also a splash pop jet fountain out at the Viejas Outlet Center in Alpine. And then for us older adults, there are several swimming pools at Croc Center. One of them's Olympic-sized, and they have all kinds of aquatic classes out there that you can take as well.
Yeah, and a lot of the community parks now have, like, water play options, too. Like, there's a park in Rancho, San Diego, that has really nice water play, and you can go and play in the water. There's all kinds of fountains and splashy things.
Well, there you go. There's also the YMCA, and there's gym equipment and all kinds of classes and everything from, you know, aerobics to you name it, that you can do in air-conditioned comfort out there.
Let's see. There's also the mall. I mean, we could go shopping, and there's, like, at Parkway Plaza, lots of little play areas for your kids and obviously all the stores and everything. That's a very nice controlled climate inside the mall there.
Yeah, all air-conditioned and cool. Good place to go in the summertime. There are also some arcades around that the kids just love. One of them is Boomers, which is out off of 67 in the, not sure if it's El Cajon or Santee right there, and they have an indoor arcade with all kinds of games and as well as some outdoor stuff like bumper cars and,
yeah, and
things
a,
like that.
My kid's favorite is at the Boardwalk. They've got, next to the Parkway Bowl, there's a huge arcade for younger kids with lots of ticket games and all that stuff. It's a lot like Boomers.
So. Yeah.
Those are both great places to cool off.
There's also one out at the Viejas Outlet Center as well, another arcade there.
And I don't know if this Boomer has it, but I know a lot of the Boomers have the bumper boats.
Ah, well, they have mini golf, I know that, and batting cages and stuff. Another nice way to cool off and have the kids learn something in the process is to go to one of our wonderful local museums. Two of my personal favorites are Heritage of the Americas Museum on the campus of Cuyamaca College, and they have everything from wonderful artwork to Indian and Native American artifacts. They have dinosaur bones and natural history things and gems and minerals and a really cool gift shop and a lot of good things. The other one is Mission Trails Regional Park. Have you been there?
Yeah, not to their museum, though.
Mm-hmm. Well, they have a beautiful visitor center. The museum, it's two-story, and when you walk up inside of it, they have cool animal sounds. So you'll hear owls hooting and, you know, different kinds of wildlife, and they have, you know, stuffed mountain lion and a lot of Native American history and exhibits as well. So it's really a very fascinating place to go.
Yeah, and what about live shows? I know some of the area Indian gaming areas have some live shows and things like that.
Yeah, they do. Sequan, for example, has a live up-close theater, and they get a lot of fairly well-known headliners in there sometimes, and that's a place you can check out. There is the Viejas Arena at the campus of San Diego State University that gets really big names. I know if you look the next few months, they've got like the Eagles and Fleetwood Mac coming up in the fall, some huge names. There is, closer to home, we have the Young Adults Theater in Spring Valley, which does a lot of musical entertainment. And
a place that I'll take my son, especially when he's a little younger, was the library, because they do those book readings, and which is always great for the little ones.
Oh, yeah. And for older adults, older kids and adults as well, they now have an acoustic concert series that's produced by the San Diego County Libraries, and you can go on the county library site and find out who's going to be playing when in your neighborhood library.
And something else for the older crowds is the senior centers. I know they do a lot of card games and have lots of fun things and TV to watch and stuff like that. So.
They do. I know La Mesa's Senior Center, they even do field trips. They'll take them all over the place for fun stuff. And the other thing is community centers, which offer classes and crafts. And there are things for children as well as teenagers and adults of all ages there. Exercise classes and, you know, you name it, yoga. Some really fun things to do there.
And also, you can always catch a meal at a nice air-conditioned restaurant. Maybe catch one with the nice outdoor views. You can look at everyone else sweating outside while you sit in a nice air-conditioned restaurant and have a meal.
Well, there you go. There's even places where you can kind of have it both ways, indoor, outdoor. Downtown El Cajon, for example, on Friday nights, they do dinner and a concert, so you can sit there in some of the cafes that Downtown Cafe, for instance, has windows that open to the outdoors, so it's kind of open air, but there's still air conditioning inside, and yet you can catch the concert going on just across the street. Or you can bring a blanket and sit out on the lawn and enjoy the music for free, not only in El Cajon, but they have them La Mesa Sundays at 6 and Harry Griffith Park. Santee at the Trolley Center has one in the evenings. So again, as the sun goes down, you can get outdoors out of your hot house and enjoy some good music. And in addition to restaurants, a lot of people like to go take in a sports game. There's more and more restaurants and sports bars around now where you can go in and cool off and enjoy your favorite football or baseball game or whatever sport you like.
Yeah, and also our East County Mountains, if you check the weather report, I know that there's some good hiking out there. It might be a little cooler out in those mountains. Just make sure you're well aware of any kind of dangers with time of day, with mountain lions and things like that.
Yeah, it can be a long, hot hike, and you need to carry a lot of water. There's, you know, some of the waterfalls are very popular trails out there, but it's a long way to get there, and you need to check with the Forest Service and make sure that there is still water, no diving or anything. But there are some that have pools at the bottom that you can swim in, out at Cedar Creek Falls, for example, this time of year, and or at least certain times of the year. And also, A little shorter hike is the Green Valley Falls, where you can at least go down and dip your feet in the water and cool off a little bit. And that's a really lovely trail, and it's very accessible.
Yes, and remember, do not hike alone, especially in the heat.
That's right, and carry plenty of water with you and a cell phone. So that wraps up our discussion of some cool ways to beat the heat here in East County.
Yep, stay cool, East County.
At the 24 reservoirs across San Diego County, a deluge of rain from recent storms has helped to restore water levels depleted by several years of drought. 10 reservoirs are now at 80% capacity or more, including Lake Turner, Dixon, Jennings, Murray, Olivenhein, Poway, Lower Otay, Miramar, San Vicente, and Lake Wolford. 4 remain below 25% capacity, Lake Ramona's Ramona, Cuyamaca, Sutherland, and Morena. Lake Morena, which was down below 3% after San Diego City water officials ordered it drained during the last drought to supply urban water needs, has more than tripled but remains low at 10%. Lake Barrett, which before the winter rains was below 10% capacity, is now nearly half full at 49.5%. Others measured ranged from a third to just over half, including Sweetwater, Lake Hodges, Red Mountain, El Capitan, San Dieguito, and Lake Henshaw. Altogether, our region's reservoirs are at over 58% capacity according to the latest measurements posted by the county and city in mid to late May. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Jonathan Getz.
This is KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso in the heart of San Diego's East County.
The Anza Borrego Foundation is looking for volunteers to help count sheep. No, not at bedtime, but over the 4th of July weekend for the 49th annual Bighorn Sheep Count in the Anza Borrego Desert State Park. There's also a mandatory orientation session on June 22nd. Temperatures can be in triple digits, but the rewards are priceless. Seeing these magnificent animals in their rugged terrain, as well as helping to document their numbers and preserve this iconic species. Borrego is Spanish for sheep. There are only about 900 Peninsular Desert Bighorn sheep left, including about 500 in Anza Borrego Desert State Park. You can sign up to be a sheep counter on the Anza Borrego Foundation website, theabf.org, by clicking on the calendar for the 4th of July weekend to find the RSVP form. Backpackers and four-wheel drive vehicles are also needed to bring volunteers to the count sites. And again, that website is theabf.org. Reporting for East County Magazine in Borrego Springs, this is Miriam Raftery. East County Magazine has won more than 112 journalism awards for reporting that's making a positive difference in our region.
The East County Magazine radio show on KNSJ covers important topics such as fire protection, energy and environmental issues, stories from East County's Native American and Chaldean communities, rural issues, and helping local veterans. Please help keep the East County Magazine show on KNSJ by donating or making a sustaining monthly pledge at www.knsj.org. This concludes today's edition of the East County Magazine radio show. We extend our appreciation to the Heartland Coalition, our parent nonprofit, and to KNSJ 89.1 FM, broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso. We extend our appreciation to our sound technician, Jonathan Getz, and to our producer, Miriam Raftery. We also thank the musicians who provided music for our show, Laura Preble, Jim Hannibal, Corey Clement, Giovanni Galicia and the Smashing Beats, Wooden Ambulance, Dusty Summer Road, A.K. Jewel, Brian Boyko, Royalty Free Music, Frank Nora, Kevin McLeod, April's Dance from the Smart Sound Solo Simplicity Collection, Turco, Nomads of the Silk Road, Blues 3 Music, and Pond 5. If you would like to underwrite or sponsor the East County Magazine radio show, or get involved as a volunteer on our public interest news show, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org. We'll be back soon with another edition of the East County Magazine radio show.